Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode. Before we begin, I must preface, I feel like I have been sick for 2 months straight. It's terrible. On and off sick, on and off have a cold or cough or snotty nose or I'm stuck or whatever. And right now, it's an on time, okay? And I'm really sorry about that. I'm gonna do my best not to sneeze or cough directly into the mic or I'll edit it out. And I will try to speak with clarity. And I'm speaking like this because my nose is so stubby, okay? Today, we have a super fun episode. You know it's good when I'm laughing before the episode even begins. Today, we're talking about red flags. And we're not going to be saying, oh, it's a red flag when someone is mean to a service worker. Everybody already knows that. To the point that the people who are probably typically mean to service workers, when they're on dates, they probably don't do it because even they know it's a red flag. You know what I mean? We're going to go a little bit deeper. And also, today, nobody's safe because we're starting with me. Yeah, we're going to talk about my red flags. We're actually going to begin with my red flags. And you might be wondering, why? Well, one, because it's my podcast. That's right, I have a podcast. Two, I think it's just such a fun exercise to think about your own red flags, because I feel like it's made me be so much more accepting of other people and maybe their downsides. Because I think, like, especially a couple years back or a few years back, I would get so peeved or irked by someone and that would be it, like it's over. Or as, you know, you hear very often, an ick, you might get a little ick. But nowadays, when someone does something that maybe disappoints or bothers me, or I kind of give them a little side eye, I'm so much quicker to overlook it because I know there are probably a lot of moments that I do that to other people too. And that's just life, right? We're all flawed human beings. And unfortunately, nowadays, I feel like sometimes people go about dating kind of like how companies go about hiring people. You know, it's like, do you have these prerequisites and qualifications? Are you 6 feet tall? Do you make six figures? Do you have a 6-inch circumference of your heart? All of these things that sometimes you just question, are they really prerequisites to how compatible I will be with someone else or how happy I will be in a relationship? Food for thought. Or, you know, guys to girls too. Sometimes they just want to know if you got certain assets. You know what I mean? I need a girl with big yitties and a small waist and a fat ass and a size whatever feet so I can suck on them toes, but they gotta be a certain size toe. I don't know, okay? But I think it's a little much. It's a little bit much for me personally. Because at the end of the day, I just don't think it's very healthy for us as a society to view human beings that way when in reality, we're kind of just a bunch of like flesh bags walking around with childhood trauma and long histories and things we've experienced and complex dynamics and feelings and all this stuff. And it feels a little silly sometimes to reduce us to one little part of us. Just a little food for thought and some reasoning as to why I want to take the time to reflect on what's wrong with me. And it's not a bad exercise to do for yourself. You might come out of it feeling a lot more understanding of others too. So yes, in spirit of all that, let's talk about my personal red flags before I start talking about your red flags. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. No, I'm kidding. It's probably not you, but it might be. And if it is, I'm sorry, it's okay. I got some, you got some. Let's get into it. For starters, one of my big red flags is that I require a whole lot of emotional support. Yeah, a lot. A lot. And you might not even know when, but I'm gonna need you to respond, OK? okay? I don't know if it's my inherent personality, my temperament, my line of work. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just go baby mode and I need a little bit of loving. Immediately, stat, pronto, like those goddamn doctors, and the patient is lying, like, beep, dying on the hospital bed, and they're trying to resuscitate him. That's what I need sometimes. And unfortunately, if someone is like hecka busy or is in also a line of work where they might be away for long periods of time, then it doesn't really work too well for me. I'm sorry. I'm really independent. Financially, like physically, I live in my own space, I do my own thing. I'm independent in so many ways. But when it comes to like emotional support, connection, company, I really need to be able to lean on others, especially my significant other if I have one. But I also know that for some other people, they might deem that as clingy. And I know a lot of people really don't F with clinginess. And you know what? I can imagine a girl and guy both agreeing like, oh, I'm fine seeing you like once a week and talking every other day. But that's not me. Like when I'm in love, when I'm in love, it's just, we are one in a way and I must be able to lean on you. I hope I kind of got my point across. I was trying not to sound too crazy, but every red flag is a little bit crazy. So another red flag. I have a lot of work-related complications. And you're probably thinking, what in the world does that mean? Security issues, stalkers, scheduling, you name it. My work comes with a lot of baggage and I'm in the public eye. So if you're around me, oh, some weirdo is going to be DMing you. Or maybe someone's going to be DMing you like, hey, I'm a big fan. Can you tell Pokey I said hi? And that might piss you off. I don't know. But I know, again, sorry, that's my bidet. If you guys can hear my bidet, doing a little pss, pss, it's cleaning the toilet. But for some people that might really bother them. And I am just very accepting that I can see my work not being compatible with a lot of folks. Next up, I don't drink. And that might not seem like a big deal or a red flag to some. Okay, I really hope I don't sound like those people when you come in for a job interview and you're like, what's your weakness? And they go, oh, I'm just such a perfectionist. You're like, that's not a freaking weakness. But hear me out. You might not think it's a red flag for your partner to not drink, but if you've never dated a sober person, I say a sober person like I had a problem. I do have a lot of problems. They're just not with alcohol. Sorry. Okay, let me every 2 seconds in this damn podcast, let me explain. If you have never dated someone who consistently does not drink or do drugs, and yet you have a social life that might involve that to some degree, which like 99% of people do, you probably don't know what it's like. So let me paint the picture for you, okay? You and your partner are out with everybody. You're having fun. You're celebrating a birthday. Everyone's like, let's take a shot. Everyone's like, woo, let's take a shot. Everybody goes, they get a shot. And they pass it to your partner. And everyone's so excited. They're so hyped. And your partner goes, no, thanks. Boom. The mood just plummets slightly. Okay, I'm not going to exaggerate it. Like everybody is just so pissed, ready to beat them up. But the mood does plummet a little bit. Not only that, but there are certain activities, especially as an adult, that heavily revolve around drinking. Whether you're out with friends and playing drinking games, whether you're going clubbing or you're going raving or you're going to literally any party ever, or you're just getting together to do drugs with people. It's just a very, very large part of adulthood and socialization, frankly. I could do a whole episode on this, but if you are someone who does engage and your partner doesn't, I can imagine that feeling restrictive or frustrating at times, and that can lead to some friction within the relationship. So even though I may not personally view this as a red flag, like this is just me, like I don't think it's a big deal, I can see why it can just wind up being an issue in the relationship, which is kind of how I'm labeling the term red flags. My next red flag, I do not take comments about my appearance lightly. It's just such a big part of my job, and I have people every minute of every day commenting on how I look, and so I kind of just, I want no part of that in a relationship. Unless it's like cute or funny or whatever. Like, you know, sometimes people can make jokes. For example, every now and then I will get a pimple on my forehead and it's always boop right in the middle of my forehead, like strategically to the millimeter, perfectly in the middle of my forehead. If someone I was dating made a joke about that, that's just funny. That's fine. It's a pimple. But for example, one time, you know, I was hanging out with someone that I was seeing and they said something along the lines of like, oh, you look really tired. Like, you know, your eye bags are really, they're really prominent today. And that ticked me off. I didn't like it. Probably like to an irrational point, like more than most people. But again, it's just, again, given my line of work, I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff in a relationship. I don't want to have to worry about how tired I look or how much you can see my eye bags or whatever, because I'm also not the type to comment about those things to my partner, joking or not or whatever. And unfortunately, like there's a bit of a sensitivity there, like a soft spot there where I'm like, ugh, I don't want to think about it. Actually, this kind of relates, you know what, it might be a red flag in me that these are things that I'm sensitive about, but I also view it as a red flag in others. Like, for example, if I'm walking around with a guy and I hear him make a appearance-based judgment or comment about someone else, like we're just walking by someone and they go, oh my God, like that person's shirt is really ugly or doesn't fit them or they look fat or they this or that. Oh my God, huge red flag. For me, because then I can't stop worrying about like, oh my God, I guess I need to worry about what kind of shirts I wear, how much weight I gain. Otherwise, my partner will judge me in the same way that they just judged this stranger. You know what I mean? So anyways, soft spot for me, in my opinion, a bit of a general red flag, but appearance-based comments. I think a lot of couples can probably happily joke about that stuff, even to like really intense or edgy or seemingly mean points. And I think that's amazing. Happy for you. It's just not me. You know, but I'll still take a joke here and there. Don't get me wrong. As long as it's not low-key mean or like relating to an insecurity or whatever. Another red flag of mine. I talk in a baby voice sometimes. Period. And you're not going to change it. Okay? I'm sorry. I do. And sometimes a British accent, and it's not that good. Listen, this is a part of who I am, Mom. It's not a phase. I cannot help it. I don't know if this is a negotiable within a relationship. Like, I really think it's just become a part of my personality. Maybe someday I'll get over it. But so far, it's just like a DLC. It's been downloaded and it's in there. And I think there are some guys who like, they really don't like that shit. But if I can't talk to my little baby boyfriend in a baby voice, who can I do it to? Oh, what a shame. Is it even worth living if I can't act like a baby and you act like a baby and we just act like a baby couple because we're so frankly tired of being adults? Yeah. Anyways, I have two more red flags to share with you guys. again, my red flags. And I think these are probably the two biggest ones. One, and this has been problematic many a times in my life. Essentially, whenever I feel really hurt or vulnerable or anything like that, I have an extremely flighty response. Like, I'm so out of there 99% of the time. Like, I immediately just want to dip, dip, dip. Goodbye. I'm never going to see you again. You're never going to see me. Au revoir. And frankly, that's not really conducive to, you know, building a relationship or working through things. Like, one time I was hanging out with this guy, really liked him. He really liked me. We're at his place. Like, I'm sitting on his bed. It's not like that kind of thing, but, you know, we're just hanging out in his room, blah, 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 blah. And then one little thing happened in relation to another girl that really, I think this would be a good scenario to say, it gave me the ick real bad. And when I tell you, I was out the door in an Uber within 30 seconds. I kid you not. I went so 0 to 100, just left. But listen, I understand that for me, this comes from a place of like, oh, I feel like I'm in danger of being hurt. I must depart immediately. Like, I am aware that it's a defense mechanism. And so thank God, you know, I've learned to communicate that to people a little bit and work on that part of myself. Sorry, I just keep laughing because hanging out with someone and they disappear from your place without even saying a thing. Literally, that's me, man. That's how scared we can be of being hurt. But this was also a huge learning lesson because this guy in particular, he wound up being extremely patient and understanding and texting me like, hey, I understand why, you know, what I said or did bothered you. But in the future, like, could you please like stick around and we can talk through it? Like, we can figure this out. And I was like, wow, I really needed that. I needed someone who could be gentle with me in this moment where I reacted a certain way because I was so scared of being hurt. And obviously, ideally, you're not reacting in a way that hurts someone else, but I'm just like, I'm just so gotta go by. And I can imagine how if that guy was instead someone who maybe had like abandonment issues, essentially it would be like my trauma is not compatible with his trauma. You know what I mean? But thankfully, someone who is like more understanding of that, we were able to work through it. Beautiful. My next red flag. And this one is really the worst. And I was debating on talking about this or not, because when you put something out there on the internet, ooh, it's there forever. It's just there forever. But I am also, I so righteously want to be myself and want to be vulnerable and open and honest because I feel like so much good can come from it. So let's be vulnerable and honest, okay? My biggest red flag is that twofold. When I pee with the door open. And two, when it's yellow, sometimes I let it mellow. And oh my God, I was not born a freak. Like, I wasn't born this way. I became a freak. Do you want to know how? Well, as you guys know, I have two cats. And if you have cats or if you know anything about cats, I don't know why they hate when the door is closed. Like, they hate a closed door. They're pawing at it. They're meowing. They're scratching. You open the door, they don't even care. They just didn't want it to be closed. So over the years, I've just gotten used to leaving my door open all the time when I pee, so my cats don't freak out and think I'm dying in the toilet. But now, it's just a habit. And it's not cute when you're an adult pissing with the door open. And two, years ago I read an article that stated, like, you know, it's good for the environment. If it's yellow, let it mellow. So I started doing that out of guilt. And because I fuck with the environment, what can I say? Do you hate the planet? I don't. So, yeah, that's my big red flag. Hope you understand. And hope you don't call me open door piss girl, because I will be having none of that slander. Damn, that was actually kind of fun to share. Maybe the more weird stuff I share, the less anything is actually really weird. Like, it's time to desensitize you all. Okay, enough about me, though. What about red flags I've seen in others and red flags that you all seem to agree on? That's right. I asked the Don't Tell Anyone Instagram audience, like, before the page is even public, I asked you guys, what are common red flags you see? And here are some things you beautiful listeners brought up. Number one, the most common response when I asked what you guys consider a red flag to be, and I was a little bit surprised by this, but the most common one was someone who has no ambition. And I'd like to both agree and kind of disagree. So first, let's define ambition. And let's start off with a good little story time. I went on a date with this guy. I'm gonna reserve the full story for another time, but I'll just tell you guys a little part of the dinner. So we're halfway through dinner, and so far, you know, this guy, he has his own startup. He's very, like, entrepreneur. And I started getting the idea that, oh, I think he's really into the idea of, like, a power couple. Like, ooh, we're both doing big things, and we come together to do even bigger things. Whatever. Which I'm not opposed to. Like, the idea can be cute, sure. But as he kept talking, he made a comment like, yeah, the last person that I was dating was just a hairdresser, and that just wasn't really ambitious enough for me. And I was like, huh? Like, what part of being a hairdresser, you're both servicing people, you're creative to some degree, what part of that is not enough for you? That was a huge red flag to me, because it kind of signaled that his definition of ambition was more so in relation to finances, how much you're making, what kind of successes can you boast to others. And also, a hairdresser can still even care about those things. Like, you could be the freaking best hairdresser around, getting paid so much. You could own, like, multiple salons. You can do so much in really any given business. But also, to me, the title of someone's job does not indicate how ambitious they are. And to me, ambition can come in so many different forms. It does not just have to be, oh, my ambition is to make as much money as possible. To be honest, snooze. Yes, money's important. Having a stable job, contributing to the relationship and the future that you want with someone else. These are all things that are, of course, really important. But money is not the end-all be-all, and it is not the sole indicator of someone's ambition, because people can have ambitions in all sorts of ways, you know? Your ambition could be to be a rich CEO, or your ambition could just be to be a really good dad, or to be the best silver coin collector in the world, okay? Or your ambition right now could just be to get into really good shape. To me, ambition is someone who has goals in their life that they are consistently striving towards and that I see that they are putting efforts towards. That's it. So I agree if we have a similar definition of ambition, but I disagree if your definition of ambition is just, you know, I just need someone who's looking to make as much money all the time as possible. Because also, if you're in a relationship with someone else like that, are you even going to have time to hang out, watch a movie, do a little cuddling, you know? But I would also like to give most people the benefit of the doubt, and I think that they mean ambition in the same way that I do, you know? Just someone whose efforts towards improving whatever part of their life is really evident. The next super common answer was either a guy having a girl best friend, or if you're the girl in the relationship, but your boyfriend gets insecure when you're around other guys. And I quickly want to apologize for speaking in such heteronormative terms. My intention is not to say like, this is the way to have a relationship or whatever. No, I am just reiterating either my personal experiences or those that people have shared with me. Though I do think it would be such an interesting conversation to have to explore red flags in different relationships with different sexualities. That would be so fascinating. But anyways, my thoughts on the girl best friend, guy friends, blah, 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 red flags. Oof. It's tough. Okay, it is. Because on one hand, it feels unrealistic to say girls and guys can never be friends. I have a bunch of friends that are guys. I do. They're not always like bestie friends, but still friends. Anyways, on the other hand, it would be dishonest to say that it isn't a very common occurrence for someone to stay friends with someone else that they are low-key attracted to, or that low-key they are DTF, or waiting for that person to no longer be in a relationship or what have you, right? Let's just be for real. That happens a lot. And so both things, in a way, are kind of true. I think that's why you really need to judge it on like a case-by-case situation. Like, if someone was being really inappropriate and clearly flirting with your partner, and your partner was entertaining that, not cute. That's obviously not really okay. Or, you know, if someone's treating your partner a certain way, and they are reciprocating, but they wouldn't be okay with you doing that with someone else? Also not really okay. I think ultimately this question kind of boils down to, in a relationship, you kind of both need to agree, like, what do we consider flirting? And what do we consider okay or not? Because you know what? Some guy-girl friendships might even, like, hold hands or be really close or whatever. And if they're okay with that on both ends, then I guess maybe it makes sense. I don't know. It just needs to be even. And I think this only really becomes a problem when one person is like, hey, look, this person is clearly treating you a certain way and your partner disagrees. They're like, no, that's normal. It's completely normal for them to sleep over naked. You know what I mean? Like, you guys just gotta fucking agree. And then it'll be easy to figure the rest out, because you can be like, yeah, no, that friend is weird. We are gonna keep our distance. Or that person is okay. It's not a big deal. Period. Also, I will say, I swear girls have a bit of a sixth sense of when a friend of their boyfriend's is interested. You know what I mean? Like, I swear they can tell when another girl is interested in ways that sometimes the guy might be oblivious to. And I think sometimes with guys, that works the same way too. You know, where they can tell that a guy friend of yours is waiting for you guys to break up, but you might be completely oblivious to it. And so ultimately, there does need to be some level of trust in the relationship, in each other's judgment. So when they tell you something, like you actually hear it out and you're considerate of it, as opposed to just brushing them off. Also, little footnote. I think especially if you're dating someone who's very conventionally attractive and that generally gets hit on, I'm not talking about friends, I'm talking mainly like strangers or whoever. I would hope that that's the kind of thing where you're in a relationship that is so secure that even if your partner is hit on, if anything, like you find it flattering. That's how I would be in a relationship. If someone hits on my boyfriend, I'd be like, yeah, I know he's cute and I know he would not reciprocate or entertain that. I would just take it as a compliment to myself, honestly. I'm like, caught a good one, you know? But I've seen instances where guy, girl, whoever, this is not, I hate to be like overly gendered, but yes, ideally you're in a really secure relationship where you find it honestly laughable if other people flirt with your partner. And then you already know your partner is going to like kindly turn them down or whatever. I've seen people who get mad at their partner when someone hits on them. And that shit makes no sense to me. Like, you're mad that your partner is hot? What do you mean? It's a tough balance to strike. Do you guys hear my voice slowly disappearing? Another common red flag that was brought up, but this time mainly by guys, was girls only caring about how much money they make or never wanting to treat the guy or pay for them when they go out, etc. And I think that this comes down to a mismatch in how you value money. And what I mean by that, did you guys know I'm pretty sure the number one reason that people get divorced is finances? I feel like they gotta teach us this kind of stuff in school. Or we need to be able to talk about these things more openly and in a more understanding and yet not personal way. Because frankly, some people just value money a lot, whether that is in relation to how they grew up and their childhood or whatever part of their life or phase that they're going through right now. To some people, it's important for someone to make a certain amount. I don't want to judge or demonize that too much because, you know, everyone's situation is different. But ultimately, if that doesn't work for you, you need to date someone who views money and finances similarly. And I think it's just such a difficult and, again, vulnerable conversation to have, especially within the first couple or few times that you're seeing someone, that it winds up just becoming a problem down the line. Oh, I mentioned in episode one where I was seeing someone and we went on some dates and he makes quite a fair bit of money. And I make good money too, but I felt like he valued money and material possessions a lot more than I did. And so there was a mismatch there, but I can imagine if he was dating a girl who like really just loved to be spoiled, maybe her love language is gifts, that kind of thing, like they would have paired so well. And I would really encourage people to view others similarly because sometimes, girl, when I was reading these red flag messages, some of you guys had a little bit of a bitterness and angst in the way that you wrote these red flags. Like I could tell it was coming from a place of hurt. And I don't want you to be hurt. Because even if someone hurts you, take it as a lesson. Like, hey, that means I'm looking for someone who's like this. It's almost like a filtering process. Ultimately, I think the more open-minded and optimistic we can be, the more likely it is that we will attract someone who's similar. Last but not least, let's run through some notable, almost random mentions. One, I was shocked by the amount of people who said that it's a red flag when a guy hates Taylor Swift. Like, a lot of people said this. And I thought that was kind of hilarious. And I feel a bit out of the loop because she used to get a lot of hate, especially like maybe a couple years ago. And maybe that hate was a little misogynistic. So to girls, it's like, oh, if he's a part of that hate bandwagon, like, I don't like that. Someone, please fill me in on this. I find it so weird when people just passionately hate someone that they don't even know. And lol, bro, they don't know you either. Like, why do you care so much? I don't really get it. And maybe it's because I feel like if you're hellbent on hating someone that you actually really don't know personally at all, I think it might speak to some kind of insecurity or something that you're projecting, potentially. Or maybe you really just have followed their career so much that you know every little thing about them and you are so sure that you really dislike who they are as a person. But then if that was true and you didn't like them, why do you know so much about them? Just some food for thought. But again, I'm quite biased in this regard. I'm on the other end of a lot of PR stuff. And so I just see how easily the public's perception on things can be swayed. And so when I see someone almost fall for these PR traps really easily, I'm like, take some time, make your mind up about whether or not you like someone. Just try not to let yourself be swayed so extremely. You can be like, oh, I didn't get a good impression for someone, or, oh, they seem pretty cool, versus, I freaking hate them. I saw some wild stuff that I don't even think need to be considered red flags, like, I don't know, people who don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, or people who don't wash their ass. Like, do we really need to be saying it's a green flag to wash your ass? Bro, that's bare minimum. Bare booty minimum. Oh my God. Ooh. Emma said, yeah, sometimes I like to call you guys out by name, so. We're on a first name basis, you know what I mean? When they leave you on red but then send you a TikTok. And I've for sure done that. I have for sure done that. Sometimes I just forget to reply to someone, but then I'll see a TikTok that reminds me of them and I sent it. And like, is it a red flag that I forgot to answer you? Maybe. But was I still thinking of you when I saw that short or that IG reel or that TikTok and so I sent it to you from a place of love? Also, yeah. Yeah. It's just funny because I can entirely see myself being on both ends of this red flag. Like both doing it to someone else, but also being mad when someone leaves me on red, but has the time to send me random funny videos. Anyway, so maybe it's not that big of a red flag. Oh, someone also said, people who don't dislike, but absolutely hate cats. And it's kind of silly that I wrote this one down and I'm wearing a cat shirt and I have cat posters and my cat is on my bed right now. I do not have a problem, but I will have to agree. I do think it's really weird to, again, vehemently hate a certain animal, especially cats. Like, okay, you might have met one bad cat. That doesn't mean all cats are bad. They're just different. Like, with cats, you can't just pick them up and do whatever you want with them. Like, you know, you need to, like, ask for consent. You need to be nice. You need to warm up to them. Cats take a lot of patience. Honestly, some of them don't, though. Like, every cat's different. So maybe don't judge all the cats from one cat. And maybe this is actually not about cats. Cats are just creatures whose love you kind of have to earn, all right? They are a lesson in consent. You can't just do whatever you want with them whenever. So maybe I won't go as far as to label this a red flag, but I will say, me personally, I think it's a huge green flag when a guy really likes cats. And you know what? Maybe we should talk about green flags. That would be fun too. There's a few that I'm so particular about. The cats is one of them. And when a guy can cook, huge, huge green flag. I just want to wrap up by saying, maybe red flags aren't about figuring out what's wrong with someone else or even what's wrong with ourselves and trying to fix it so intensely. Though, yes, it is good to always try to improve on oneself and, you know, be the best version of ourselves that we can be. But the way that I've started to perceive, you know, flaws, imperfections, icks, red flags, whatever you want to call it, is more so from a perspective of, Frankly, relationships and friendships, I think, are actually about finding someone whose imperfections and flaws are as compatible with yours as your strengths are compatible with each other. You know? Because for some people, things are going to be a bigger problem or issue than with others. That's really all it is. And we don't need to fixate on people who hate a certain thing about us all the time, especially if it's a silly thing or preference. Maybe we just need to find those who appreciate it. Sorry, I was going to wrap it up, but that one line reminded me of something. I hate to say this, but I've seen a lot of people say it's a red flag if guys play video games a lot. And as a girl that plays video games a lot, you know, like, that hurts my feelings a little bit. Like, I get it. You do deserve attention, and video games should never come in between you and your partner. 100%. But please don't discount people solely based on their hobbies. It's more so about how they incorporate those hobbies into their lives and whether or not their time management is good and whether or not they are treating you good. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I'll see you in the next one. Leave a review if you can. I think on Spotify, there's like triple dots beside the title of the podcast, and you can leave a review. I don't know if you can even write stuff there, but if you can, I'll read it. If not, I think you can on Apple Podcasts. I don't know. I'm just so excited to hear what you guys think. I will also be really annoying on the Don't Tell Anyone Instagram. I'm gonna just keep asking you guys stuff because I love engaging. It's so fun and it gives me so many more ideas for things to yap about. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in the next yap session. Bye. Have a good day, week, night, day, night, day and night. Bye.